Session number 14982, Mr. J. Brown, Reel 20.
Mr. Brown, Reel 20.
Anywhere, we had a lad, I don't know if he's alive or dead, he got took prisoner, Thompson. He belonged to Kimblesworth. I've never seen him since mine, but he's probably still not about. Good soldier and everything, you know. See? He's company runner. Why, he overrides like a billiard table. The river's over there, come round the half circle, you know. There's a fringe of trees there, and the river went down there somewhere. He had blokes along there. He had this machine gun position over there. The rest was like that. Well, he come to command, he said, well, we'll have to contact battalion headquarters. Eh? I said, to me, what's battalion headquarters on a day? You know what I mean? We should have tried to pull back down that ditch and get as near the Germans as we could, engage them, and leg up for the best.
You must have been farther forward than most.
We were. I did. Say, they didn't know about the sunken road. And the Germans there in force, and there's all these bloody olive groves, bloody forest of olive groves and that. A and D company couldn't get through there. But B company come on the left, like, you see. And, as I say, on the early part, where they were jumping all felt of one kid that was a, quite a blood match, like. And, Walmsley company come on, he says, Thompson, he says, I want you to go over there, swim the river, and get round to battalion headquarters, you know. Thompson says, you what? He says, you can go, you fucking self. He says, I'm not committing suicide at my age, I'm a married man. He says, you'll be a court martial. He says, you can give it 10 court martials. He says, I'm not committing suicide for you or no bugger else. See? What? I thought we admired him for it, like way it was. So this bloody platoon commander of mine, Holmes, you know, first time in action. He said, I'll go. Well, he said, I'm knocked off. He must have got a... He was running forward about 20 yards and dropping. And there was nobody finding him, but when he got the river bank, and knocked him off. Because later on, I don't think the Germans realised we were there, you know, at that time, in this position, so far forward. They come back, the Germans had a wounded officer. He'd been hitting a bloody leg or something. And they had two of B Company lads carrying them on a piece of wood, like a branch, you know. His hand round there. They two carrying him, and there's a dozen, about a dozen of these paratroopers coming back. Come right round, they're just going to pass our positions here. So, didn't want to shoot the buggers or what, so I just give a burst, you know, and they looked. And then, anyway, they dropped the arms, we took them prisoners. They were playing hell about this officer, we couldn't hear nothing about him. And these two big company dads saying, you want so-and-so, we're ready to be out the bloody war. You know, tell Scotch lads now. Get yourselves in here and keep your bloody mouth shut.
What were they like as these parachutists? Were they arrogant or?
No, I know. They were pit lads. Pit lads, aye. And surprising, they were us till we got took prisoner. And one of them...
These are English parachutists? British parachutists?
No, German. German parachutists, there was one of their officers was wounded, and they had these two big company lads prisoner, you know, and they were letting them do the carrying, you know, getting the way back to headquarters, you see, and for some reason or other, anyway, we had them prisoners, like, and one of them, he could speak quite good English, and he had a brother, prisoner in England, he'd been taken to begin the war, maybe one of them what the bloody 6th Battalion took, or the 8th Battalion, you know, or even the 9th, and he's asking me about, he says, will I, with my brother? Oh, I should certainly. Well, I would have some say on it, wouldn't I? You'll be with your brother, no? Father. And he's on the Essen, plenty of food, Essen, England, Essen. Oh, yes. And I mean, they're big pork eaters, aren't they? He says, swine flesh? Oh, I says, ample food. Out here, you know, like hell they were. And anyway. Well, there in a corner down here out the bloody road, and this officer was moaning and groaning, and our company commander wasn't in too good a fettle. And I wish English had been there. And anyway, the next thing, there's five armoured cars come down the road, German headquarters. They were coming down slowly, you know. And we had heavy mortars across the river, pounding, you know, throwing them 4-point-down mortars out, you know. And there wasn't doing much damage at that time. And anyway, these armoured cars stopped. And then there's a bloke got out. He must have been, well, he's an officer. He must have been an officer type or something there. He come out, he walked over about 50 yards towards us. Didn't know we were there. He was probably about a couple of 250 yards away, like that. And he had his binoculars on across the bloody river. You know, what he was trying to spot, I didn't know. I wonder what was in. And the armoured cars was up there. But it was no good giving them a bust, because they would have known machine gun fire they were going over. So I took a bead on with a rifle, took a good bead, and I don't know whether he hit his belt buckle or what, because he seemed to lift about 4 foot in the bloody air and gone back in there. And there was just one shot, like. Anyway, the one shower, two or three of the blokes come out, left them alone, like, saying what had happened to them. And then the armoured car started to just close slowly towards us, like. So I think they were probing. And anyway, we're right down, armed, ammunition out, you know, we had the anti-tank stuff then. We'd lost our peat mortar during the night. We'd lost a 2-inch mortar.
So you were isolated?
Aye, and there was actually, there was 27 of us on that position, except for these German prisoners, like these paratroopers. And we'd lost one lad with our German officer. He'd been lined up there, and he'd shot him. And I think that was about 26 of us. We only had two officers then, and all. My bugger had sacrificed his life. And so all he could do, warmly said, well, there's nothing we can do now. Well, he could have said, well, he might have a dash for a dive up and down, but he didn't. He said, take the pins out of your, the bolts out of your brand guns and shove them into grass somewhere, take the pins out of your rifle. It was not a waste of bloody time. He had all arms and ammunition he wanted, he didn't need out, which he said, but anyway, did that. And over the cave, I said to myself, I said, goodbye Durham, are you? When they say this bloody lot, you know, they've, German machine gun section we'd butchered, one through the other, lost their officer, but they didn't, they weren't like us, no. There's one of them stood up in the bloody turret shouting in German, like, well, these paratroopers jumped out the ditch then, one of them jumped out that way, and he was giving field signals with his cap to their machine gun position over there, must have told him, like, you know, giving signals with his cap, which they would understand, and it was different to ours, like. And then this bugger come up there, up the door, and I took his logo off him. He's laughing all over his bloody face. He said, about his brother, Nick's brother, Gefangene, he's telling me. I said, aye, pretty weary then. And
What are your immediate feelings?
Hmm?
What were your immediate feelings when you knew this was a capture job?
Why, we were weary and tired, man. You know what I mean, like. And how's convinced? Why, It's bravado's got nothing to do with it, you know. You've got beyond that stage, like. I thought to myself, Fred, I said, when they say the Messiah, like, they'll shoot us up, like. And probably back in Germany they would have done, you know. Or the SS would have done. But these blokes didn't, like, you know. Just took it. So anyway, we got organised, and off we went. And they put two blokes on to carry this German officer back, like. So I nominate the same two blokes as out of me, calling him. I'm carrying. And anyway, went to march out the road there, and about maybe 800 yards back or something like that, the road went through. It was a big ridge, it looked like a man-made ridge, you know. It wasn't a natural thing. It went right that way down the river, and went God knows where, how far that way. German headquarters was behind there. We didn't know at the time, but obviously it was an obvious place. And our 4-point-down mortars were still saying, wham. Every time one dropped, you know, everybody hit the bottom, including the Germans. Well, I just got near the road, and there was one that must have been dropped bloody 80, 100 yards up the road like that. But the big and the shrapnel, and the young Jerry in front of me, he screamed and he went down. And he must have gotten a pinhead of shrapnel or whatever, he's near you. And it was coming out like just squirting out, you know. So I struck my thumb on it like, to stop it, like, I didn't know why, but. Anyway, Toby's mates come down, knocked me out the bloody road and this, that and the other. He was dead in seconds. So they give me three or four of our lads a job of carrying him and that, like, a body. I went through this round. And round the corner is an Isenhut and about 10 or 20 German vehicles parked, you know. Just dropped there and took officers, two officers dropped straight away. They took the officers off straight away.
Wormsley was one. Who was the other one?
I get mixed up with Roberts, you know. I didn't think it was Roberts, like. So it wasn't my platoon commander, but it didn't matter. Wormsley was the company commander, like.
What state was he in then at this time?
Wormsley. Boy, it's hard to be critical. He wasn't in the same category as Major English, nowhere. Nowhere, no.
Was he panicking or frightened or?
Well, the way he talked, he was very apprehensive, you know. Whatever you talk to him, he's very apprehensive. But we wouldn't have been able to be sitting if Paddy English had been there. We'd have been waved away back down and got along with them regardless. It's better getting near them as being away from them. Be safer. And anyway, it took these two officers off us, so I think I was the only sergeant out the company then. We'd left one platoon back, the other book had been knocked out, and there was a couple of corporals anyway. They just squad down there outside this hut, you know. And there was half a dozen German wagons pulled in where gear on, you know, one thing and another. And the jerry come over, he must have wanted them offloading. And he's shouting, Rouse, Rouse, Arbeiten, you know. And he's rattling his lad and he's starting, he's rattling the bolt, he's kicking one lad. The lad says, here. He says, fuck off, I'll wrap that rifle around the neck, you big cunt. And that guy says, oh, here goes. When he looks down the line, I've got three stripes. I'm the first one. Example. So, anyway, I said, get on your feet. Get on your feet, like, and he was getting really mad. And then the bloody door opened. And out the regimental commander come out. He wasn't very high. He was only about 5'7" or 8". He was immaculate. I think he'd been on parade, you know. He was spotless. You know what I mean? And he just looked. I was wide awake, like, I got them to attention straight away, you know. Not a move. Give him a nice salute. When they washed the bloody shirt, he had what looked like camouflage helmet still on. And he jabbered away to this jury, and the jury was telling him, I want the footless to work in the refilled. And then he looked along the line. In perfect English, he says to me, Sergeant, why won't these men work? And I was a bit taken aback, like, the English sergeant says, well, I said, like this, sir, I said, we've been on the go for a week. Or more. I said, what? The minimum of sleep, very little food, water, we haven't had time for the wash. I said, the men are exhausted. I said, the good workers normally, but I said, they're absolutely exhausted. See? He just looked, he wiped the form up. He said something to this jury and he buggered off, whatever his matter's handled. And he just looked, and I gave him a salute and he went back into the bloody hut. And this book was looking back, the lad was saying, grand, you big user. No, he took great pleasure, you know. But the sads are sitting there, like, next thing down comes a 1500 weight. And Herman Gordon got out, must have been, it was his twin. A belly on like that, you know, got a big, flowery grin on and that. Hi, he says, these are the boys. Perfect English. Bit rough, is it? We've had it rougher, you know. See, comes round. And he wanted to find out who we were. He got it like that. At that time, there was a film actor, American film actor, called Robert Montgomery. I can't remember. He says, Robert Montgomery's boys. One of the young says, I'll be up this road in a couple of hours and kick you over the fat ass. That's calm him down, my enemy. And then he was just laughing, you know. And then he come around and he says, Panzers, have you ever seen Panzers? Tanks, he says, you know. The young says, oh, he says, tanks, dozens of them. He said, right away back to the, what did he do? He said, they all had black crosses on, they were all burnt out. He didn't like that, he had a bit off like. And then he got the camera out, so as soon as he got the camera out, they were all sitting like that, you know, dirty, washed, unshaved, die. Anyway, he says, right, Geneva Conventions, number, rank and name, so that's all I want. Why, what, South Lanks, South Wales Borders, but the bloody Welsh regiment, but the King's Own Scottish Borders, the Durham Light. They give it up. He said, what do you, what do they call them? He's the same name as a football, used to be football manager, Dan Gleish, I think. Scotsman. 319, she had the Scottish borders, he had them all. His Scottish borders are not on this island. There's one here. And then others, and then all these bloody numbers, you know, you had a couple of Durham numbers. Oh, he said, it's no good. And he packed it in, right? Laugh. Oh, but I didn't say, oh, Christ, I was in trouble. And, during the night, I got on the right knee, it's hardly out to see. It's just a tiny little scar, you know. And must have been a little tracer bullet, you know, and the phosphorus must have poisoned it. And I got worse and worse and worse. My bloody day was like that, you know. Anyway, I started to move from there, and I marched us back towards Catania. Must have been 12 miles if it was an inch. Christ, no tired, you know. When these German, some of these German paratroopers were being with us. There was about four of them went back with his escort. They had to walk an hell, you know. No, that right. But by everybody was tired. I stopped now and again and kept going. And that bloody knee of mine. And I got into Catania, which is a big city, like, isn't it? And I'm not sure we're in the heart of it, but when it was come to a big square, and there was a big grass verge round this side, and we stopped there for about 2 or 3 hours. And so two wagons picked us up. But anyway, while we were there, it was a hell of a bloody state. And there was a jerry come down and looked, and he must have said, what's the matter like? One of the lads says, oh, Iron Man crank. And he looked, and he went and brought a German medical orderly down. He never said no, he just went back and got his bag, come down, he had a little like scalpel thing, and he dipped it in some liquid, you know. Must have been to sterilise it. And me, of course, my khaki trousers ripped up there, and he just lanced it. He said, the shit that come out of there was no bugger's business. Oh, right down. And he washed it, must have been surgical spirit, like. And he put two field dressings on it, two big field dressings. Why, under the circumstances, were on for about a month. And you couldn't get bathed now, but anyway, when I took them off, the bugger was healed. It was pretty clean. I've never been troubled since.
Had they fed you and watered you?
Hmm?
Had they been feeding you and giving you drink?
You get water, time? But then they fed themselves, man. No, I didn't say the Germans eating. And anyway, when we were going through part of Catania, it was funny this. The our Navy was out at sea. He had heavy guns on Mount Etna, you know, and he was... Actually, he was trying to knock the bloody bridge out the way he'd come over, you know. And miles away, Mount Etna, a big 210 millimetres. He dropped this bloody house in the world, you know. And our Navy out at sea was trying to hit them. Why, some of them were dropping short. How do I know? He was knocking two straights down bound in Catania. They went down one of these straights, and they weren't dropping there then, but there must have been one dropped early on. There's bodies lying about, you know, this, that, and the other. Bloody buildings laying and all, stink and all that. And we stopped there, they've put it out to stop there, and what for I didn't ask. Anybody tells you now, well, I was there about half, three quarters of an hour. I was glad of the rest for my knee. And anyway, down Broken Old Passage, the Sicilian women come down, and that they call it pasticciotti now, you know what it is? They're all mixed up, a bit of tomato, a bit of this, a bit of that. And they give us all a one, aye? They went back and got some more, and this, that, and the other. And they get the jerrys and all, they give them some and all. And then we moved again, and I say we got to this square, and I got my knee attended to, and then two wagons come. We aft, one on, half on one wagon, half on the other. And off we went. Nice paratroop, it was four, and we got all those tow drivers, that's right. The tow drivers were the wagons. The paratroop was sat on the front, in the front of the drive, and two sat on the back with us, on each truck, you see. Off we went. Way down out of Catania, we were up on the high ground. We stopped again for what I didn't know. Bloody big wooden gate, and inside there was a hell of a building, a big courtyard, and a well in the middle. And I think all the Italian general staff was in there. One German officer went in there. I don't know where, excuse me, I don't know whether that report that or what. In we went, just through the gate. Well, it was incredible, these Italians were coming looking at you. Well, they'd never seen anybody, enemy before. Well, wouldn't be very pretty, like. Unshaved, camouflage helmets on, and this, that, and the other. And still had old belts and water bottles on, you know. And someone was coming from touching you and bloody jumping back. Well, lads, you know what? What's the matter with them, you know? anyway, well, in the middle, one of the lads went forward. He was going to have a drink. And told his eye jumped him. And he must have said, I only went to drink, man, you know. and they were giving him a thump. And one of these paratroopers went forward and he was giving the laying them in. And they were arguing back with him, so he slugged one of them. Oh, you hear? I said, hey, there's a division between Italy and Germany. Hey, it was great. And anyway, oh, there was hell on. These Italian officers, and the German officer come over. Like, it was just a gimmick, you know. He was playing hell with this German. Took his belt down, says Tommy gun off, maybe give him to another one. And he's dressing him down. Close arrest. He must have seen you under close arrest. About half an hour later, we got back on the wagons. He got his gear back and everything. Like, it was just a gimmick. Then off we went. And there's a long way to the Straits of Messina. We're going to Messina. Well, we crossed into Italy, like.
Had you been wounded before this with your hand? Had you had your wounds?
With your hand? No, I was that afterwards, in the pit.
I know you said you'd been wounded.
I was wounded above the left eye. And the right knee. Anyway, over the hills and dales, off we went. And we'd got one batch of reinforcements. I was wounded. Marath, we've got a reinforcement company. We've got a company sergeant major, Seppi Wren, from Character, from Seam Harbour. He'd served in the West Yorks for a lot of years. He'd been in Abyssinia. He looked like a pretty Italian. He's jet black, he had a little black tash on it. He spoke Italian. He was all right, though, a bit of a comedian. And we kept stopping at little villages for various things. I don't know what the Germans had done, the jabbering. We stopped in this village, and all crowding around, you know, the Sicilians. And one of them, he was Marazel. He was accusing Seppi Wren of being Italian. Where he gets him by the shirt, and he pulls him off, and fought me. And the British Germans are just laughing, you know, and off we went. But anyway, pulling on, turned dark, you know, a bit more light, one thing. And waving the front truck, the one behind us, to the left of the kind of bit back, okay, paddling on. It's a long way to the Straits of Messina. And Jerry in the front with the driver, and one sitting with his back to the cab, nodding off. The other young one, he was sitting at the back, his Tommy gun was dropping. He had a hold of the canopy thing, you know, he's nodding off and all. I thought, well, I hope he doesn't have an accident and fall off, like. I was wondering just in my mind, like, all of a sudden it wasn't mine, there was a bloody foot shot out and kicked him straight off the backboard. Well, that would have been all right, but what he'd done, I'd never seen anybody with a broken neck before. The screams, you could hear them above the engine. Stopped. Hell on. Not long, the other truck caught up, had us out there, did you know what the shot was or not? They knew what had happened, they couldn't prove it, you know. And I was trying to tell him, nine, slap, and he fell asleep. Sleep fell off. But his bloody neck was about that long, and his head was lying out to one side. And then he went into a bit of a coma, you know. We were there for ages, till the other wagon went back, and then they got an ambulance, and this, that, and the other. But from that moment on, they weren't too friendly. I think they blamed us for it, like. Mate wouldn't turn out like that, and they don't let him. See, I turned out his foot at what mine like. And bloody dirty studs. And now we've got, it wasn't finished, we've got the Catania, we've got the Straits of Messina. Stopped that overnight. Bloody little broken down cellar, the shoulders in there, and they give us one of them, I call them pancakes. Instead of hard tack biscuit, the Italians get one like a pancake, but half inch thick. It's like a paving stone, cracked, broad, all right. They filled our water bottles, that's all we got, like. And next morning, the Germans had fallen back off Sicily then, you know. They were using tank landing craft, but empty, like, to get troops back. So the shuffled us, 20-odd of us, they shuffled us down on this tank landing craft the morning, and it was full of jerrys, all forward, you know, packed. They didn't take any notice of us, you know. They just looked at us, jabbering among the bloody cells, and the dams and crew. They're us in one corner here, squashed in. Well, it's only 3 miles over the Straits of Messina. We're halfway across, there's a bloody Spitfire having target practice. Everything in the beer. We come down. Well, you couldn't count. They must have killed 4 or 5 Germans and wounded some more. We didn't have one casualty. That was upsetting for them. That was from one corner. Should have staggered out like, shouldn't have had any bloody brains. And that was it. So we landed, must have been a harbour somewhere around there, but we landed the shortest way across, just an open beach. Bloody big same wall as high as that, and steel ladder up, you know. See, got to climb up there one at a time. formed up there. There's something like coming out of the marketplace in Durham, coming up Clapeth, you know. Bloody old fashioned building, bits of balconies out and all that. And it was like miners' day. Earlier prisoners had been landed farther up, you know. And I think this must have been the first to train. Couldn't believe it. They were crowded, you know. There were 20 odd of us, there were bloody paratroopers. My one poor old woman, she maybe lost her son in North Africa somewhere. She's hopping off the pavement with a shoe, hitting a lad, somebody shoved her on her ass, and the place was lit up. And one of these jerrys just put his submachine gun there and fired a burst. Like that, you know. But right over at the top, there was a big station yard. They put us in the station yard, we were in there a few hours. There was a train offloading over here, a goods train, like. And we went on that. We're up the top end, some of the women were coming, shoving a bit of bread and pasta shoe to throw there and to feed you now. Down the bottom end, they wanted to string you up. And fuck them. And I laughed. The bloody weather was scorched, you know. So, put us on this train, and the Germans handed us over to the Italians, you know. Why, there's no way I could run there, like, you know what I mean, like southern Italy. You had to think about it maybe later on. So, we get something, they just didn't lock you in. The Italians were sitting there, there's two Italians were here now, and towing the next carriage farther up, but the reinforcements, we were in here.
Were these like cattle trucks or...?
Goods trucks, you know, not open trucks, they were sliding doors, you know. The doors were wide open because it was red hot. The two white guys sat on there, and the lads were just sitting about anywhere inside, 20 odd of us. Some of us were sitting with our feet over the side. The Italians was crowded on, giving it the jab, and like, you know, didn't know what side they were on. Some of them were trying to be nice. And I didn't know that there was any blonde Italians. There was a couple there, she was blonde, she was bloody beautiful. And the one with her, he was totally anti-British at that time. He was spitting and shouting and bawling. And what I had in wasn't a smoker, but I was shouting, cigarette, cigarette. And he must have turned fuck off in Italian, you know. And she was playing hell with him, the poor lads, you know, and this, that and the other. Well, anyway, they got steam up, just ready to pull away. This puppy shrug his shoulder, he come on here, little packet about five cigarettes, he give them to this lad. The lad took them and spit straight at his bloody face. I said, oh, no, no, lad, you know. Well, he was mad, like, to say the least. And this bloody lass was, I'm sure she's just laughing. And off we went. Christ. Had a good look at Italy, like, you know, southern Italy. Very poor people. And there's no way I could go there, like, you know. And you could see German troop trains coming down and such as that, like, and all that. And,
Were you still getting any... Were you getting any food at this point? Were they feeding you?
The Italians just give us one of them hard tack things, you know. You could fill your water bottle, like, and such as that. And they give you some of this, like pasta stuff, you know. It wasn't much, like, but I don't think I had much themselves, you know. Surprising, you know, I mean, over the years, your stomach must have been down to that size, because very rare you were able to tuck in and overeat out like that. You just didn't do it. So it didn't take much for you to, you know. I didn't hear people much worrying about it much, like, everybody could eat a good meal, but, anyway.
As time went on, you must have been losing fears that anything was going to happen to you. At least you were going to be prisoners. They weren't going to do anything to you.
You didn't worry about tomorrow. You were just wondering, like, just what, you didn't know whether you were going to stop in Italy or stop where, this, that and the other. And, what we did, late at night, we pulled into Naples, never seen Naples. That was the only bloody time being in. Obviously a big place, big city, big marshalling yards. Because they locked us in then, the doors, bolts, bloody barbed wire doors, and buggered off. The RAF decided to raid. Well, Christ, the damage they were done. And the bloody truck was jumping 2 foot off the lines and running back. Thought any minute the next one's ours, like. But it wasn't to be. But next morning, there was rolling stock, smouldering and burning and one thing or another. When the Italians come back, they were surprised to see we were still alive, I think, like.